We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
We believe in Mitch. That doesn't change.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 to the score. We're in the Wayback Machine.
Now we're piling on.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. Takes us back.
Yeah.
To a time.
Seven years.
Ugh.
Seven wives for seven brothers.
Seems longer. Really, watching Patrick Mahomes flourish and the Bears flounder at the quarterback position. Until this year when maybe they found Justin Fields their guy. But what the Bears do with the number one overall pick will be affected by every other quarterback decision for teams that are looking for one this offseason.
There's a lot.
Is that a fair statement?
I totally agree
okay.
with you.
So even when we're talking about, boy, you know what's, what are the 49ers going to do? Well, if they go for Tom Brady, if they go for Aaron Rodgers, if they go for Derek Carr, all of those possibilities indirectly could affect what the Bears are left with in terms of their options with the number one pick, because every team, it's a game of the proverbial musical chairs. You know, when somebody takes a seat, or it's dominoes, whatever analogy you want to make, if Brady goes to San Francisco, Rodgers may go to New York, and Carr may go to Houston, and then what? With Indy. Indy wants that number one pick.
Well, I mean, my fear would be that somehow Rodgers goes to Indy. Because then that takes away the possibility of them moving up.
Bingo. That was my next scenario.
Yeah. Absolutely.
What if Rod? No, no, that's fine.
I like the Jets. Because who cares?
Who cares about the AFC?
Thank you.
Let them go and have the tabloids fuss over Aaron Rodgers. Boy, he needs more attention.
Oh, yeah. He's desperate.
But you could see. Here's the one thing about Indy that I think is interesting. Chris Ballard has swung and missed wildly now on veteran quarterbacks. I don't know if he's going to do it again.
I hope not.
Well, look at who he's going to be interviewing for the head coaching position. The second interview, I think it is today, Brian Callahan, the offensive coordinator from the Bengals, is interviewing in Indianapolis. If they go that route, if they go young, offensive-minded head coach the way that the Bengals have and successfully done, the way the Eagles have and it worked, you wonder if that is a cue now where Chris Ballard is putting even more chips on the table and saying, we're going to go get our young first-round draft pick. We are now even more compelled to make a deal to move up if they hired a young, offensive-minded assistant coach to be their head coach. That's good for the Bears, because if they want that guy and the Texans hired D'Amico Ryans and he wants that guy, all of a sudden you got a bidding war.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
That would be awesome. So
that's the dream right there.
So pay attention to what's going on in Indy, because I do like the idea, or I've heard it mentioned. I talked to somebody in the league. It's like, oh, Aaron Rodgers could end up in Indy, and look, that would be ideal there.
Sure.
I don't know. Not for the Bears.
No.
I mean,
here's the problem that you have in Indy is it can be found in the resume of the fired coach. Five different starters in the last 5 years. They've gone that route. They've tried to bring in, you know, Matt Ryan was a disaster at his age and the money and everything else. They have tried that. They've tried to go that route, and it has not worked for them.
Ryan, Wentz,
yes.
Rivers. Rivers yes. was the best of
Rivers the was very good.
Jacoby Brissett was very good.
Okay.
But he wasn't going to move the needle, and yep. all of it started when Andrew Luck retired.
Yes.
So Chris Ballard has done – he is, you know – people think that he is overrated in Indy mm-hmm. because of the lack of playoff success, but he definitely has built a roster that has been one that we're very familiar with in Chicago. A lot of the holes are filled except for the biggest one.
Got to get that quarterback.
Got to get the quarterback right.
I think every general manager in the NFL knows that. And, you know, if these guys are moving around, and they are, you just got to hope that they're filling in holes in places that the Bears can't trade that number one pick to, right?
And the last, yeah, exactly. The last domino that is worth considering before we get to the callers, Frank Reich taking the job in Carolina, which getting it over Steve Wilkes doesn't make any sense to me, but that's a different story. But Frank Reich getting the job in Carolina also adds them, to me, almost the third most likely team to make a deal with the Bears. Because if they want to get their own franchise quarterback to be groomed by this quarterback guru in Reich, then they're going to be compelled with an owner that is impulsive. Hey, just do whatever it takes. Get that number one pick. Whatever it takes. Even if the Bears move to two, the Panthers might still be there willing to make a deal and give up more than other teams. Keep an eye on what the Panthers are thinking this offseason and what they do to try to fill their quarterback vacancy, because that is another team and another domino that will affect what happens in Chicago.
312-644-6767 is the telephone number. We should let you know that the score listener line is powered by BetQL. Bet smarter, beat the books. Download that BetQL app today. Or visit BetQL.com.
And the BetQL network is available nationwide on the Odyssey mobile app and website, over 10,000 home and auto-connected devices, and BetQLnetwork.com.
Let's try Jake. Jake's in Joliet. Good morning, Jake.
Hey, good morning, Molly.
Good morning.
Along the lines of the Patrick Mahomes and his unanswered prayers over there, I wonder if Terry Bradshaw ever gets down on his knees and thanks God that the Steelers won that coin flip, because nobody would have ever heard of him if Halas would have taken him.
Oh, that is awesome.
Well put. That is hilarious. Good memory. 1970 NFL draft. Yeah. Yes, the Bears lose the coin flip. And,
that's right. And the Hall of Famer goes to the Steelers and wins four Super Bowls. And I don't even know who the Bears got. Who did they get?
Ah, boy, in the 70 draft, I'd have to look at that. I can't remember the name of the guy they got.
They got someone and they traded him to the Packers. I remember that.
They traded a guy to the Packers, huh?
But Terry Bradshaw went on to greatness and
the Bears didn't?
A broadcasting career that got him on the podium Sunday giving out the trophy.
Let's try Pat. Pat's in Ottawa. Hey, Pat.
Hey, so who's the guy that let Robbie Gould go, because that guy's on pace to go in the Hall of Fame? And then I hear that Mahomes grew up in Wrigley Field watching his old man pitch and wants to be, if the Bears screw this one up, I'm done. This is it. This is the last chance. This is the last I got for the Bears.
I like it, Pat. We had a caller earlier who said that he was done. He heard the audio and just, I mean, he left us a text in all caps about how idiotic the Bears were for missing on Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, he was mad about that.
That was pretty funny.
Mike McCoy was the number two pick, and that was the guy who ended up with the Packers. McCoy. So that was the Notre Damer, remember him.
And he was in the Hall of Fame, right?
No. Never mind. I don't think so.
Different McCoy.
Speaking of Robbie Gould, so we revisited that last week. Dan Weider had a great little reference to how it all linked back to Hieronymus Grissou and the injury, and they wanted to save money and sign Justin. And he got married. Yes.
Or engaged, excuse me.
Robbie Gould's going to be a free agent. Did you know that? I think he's out of contract in San Francisco. So 40-year-old Robbie Gould on the open market, do you feel like a homecoming would be worth pursuing? Do you think that's even something that is worth considering? Do you have any faith left in Cairo Santos? Or is that just something that...
You know what? I listen, you know, I really like Robbie. And I think that he should stay with San Francisco. I think they should re-sign him because he's there. They're that close. He is money. I don't think the Bears are close enough.
I agree with that.
I just don't think... I mean, to go with an older kicker... What, is Robbie 40, 41?
He's 40. He turned 40 in December. Okay.
So and kickers can last a long time. I'm not.
He's got a couple of years left. You can see,
no question. And he's been great. I just think he's closer to a championship where he's at than coming here, where he'd be part of a rebuild and by the time they got good enough, he might not be available to be kicking in the
I agree with that because at this stage of his career, too, he has to consider realistically the Hall of Fame possibility, and a Super Bowl championship
would be on like a game-winning kick. Get
would
the hell
be
out
would
of
be
here.
A great thing to have on his resume.
Great way to close your
and
career.
He's more likely to do that in San Francisco or with a winner than he would with the Bears, who are in rebuild mode.
John is in Palos Heights. Hey, John. Good morning.
Hey, guys. Good morning, guys. I have a question for you. Don't you think that the Bears have made the number two pick? Everyone's talking about trading for the number one pick for a quarterback, but I think the Bears have made the number two pick in the draft a better deal because everybody knows the Bears are not going to pick a quarterback in the number one pick. So all these teams that want a quarterback are just going to be wanting to trade for the number two pick, not the number one. And I'm
but
one
the
of
number
the people
two pick,
believe,
the I number think, two pick needs a quarterback too. You
right,
see what I'm saying?
The number one pick doesn't, but the Bears, if they stay at number one, everybody knows if they don't trade with them that they're not going to pick a quarterback anyway.
But
so
John,
not, be there
not every
two.
Team knows that another team isn't going to make a deal with the Bears. That's
right.
The allure.
Right.
That's what the magic is about having that number one pick. Yeah, teams may realize the Bears, no way are they going to draft a quarterback to compete with Justin Fields. That would not be on top of my list of priorities. But if you're Houston, you don't know that Indy isn't going to strike a deal by offering more than
exactly.
you would.
Exactly. Yeah, you know what you want here, John, is you want teams to fall in love with the quarterback and then will be willing to do anything they can to go up and get the guy. That's what you want. And if you are Houston and you know that the quarterback you love is going to be drafted because the team's going to trade up, that makes you nervous. That makes you kind of more likely to try to trade up yourself. That this Bears number one pick here is bad for Houston because Houston is in a quarterback mode. They need a starting quarterback.
They need one.
The Bears do not. So the Bears could trade that pick to any team in any other of the 31 teams and make whatever player that Houston falls in love with available before Houston can get there. So I think it's a really good thing that the Bears have the first pick.
I also think...
And if people call their bluff, oh, yeah, well, let's see if you take one.
No, that's overstated.
No, I'm just going to trade it to somebody else.
I don't think that's realistic either. You look at the Houston Texans, and they have the kind of draft capital that they can afford to give something up to move up one spot.
Yep.
They also have, according to reports, a new head coach, DeMeco Ryans, who's a defensive head coach that might want to go. His biggest hire is going to be his offensive coordinator. That offensive coordinator is going to be slash assistant head coach and going to be in charge of developing the young quarterback they draft, which you could see the symmetry in this offseason for the Houston Texans. You hired DeMeco Ryans, former player, head coach. He goes and he drafts an Alabama quarterback, Bryce Young, to develop him. There's a lot of reasons to think that is possible. Also, not the least of which are, they have 11 draft picks. They're more equipped probably than any team that the Bears are going to potentially deal with to make that deal. So it makes the most sense. And I don't agree that you call the Bears bluff because the Bears
are open for business.
Are open for business.
That's it. That's all it is.
Now, I would, if I were the Bears, I would make every one of these guys sound like the second coming of Patrick Mahomes. If asked about them, evaluating them, they need to really sell it that they like Bryce Young, that they like C.J. Stroud, that they like Will Levis. I think there's something in that, Molly, to not just dismiss the possibility that they would take a quarterback there. They still have to play the role of interested suitor, right? Don't they have to?
I suppose they have to, but I don't. I mean... Unless they really like someone, I don't know that they can pull it off. I think all they have to do is just, you know, hey, open for business. Here we are. You want a quarterback, come and get it. I don't think you're going to be able to sell a quarterback to a team that doesn't see what you're trying to sell. You see what I'm saying? I think it's up to – and, I think it'd be nice if there was one guy that was – the standout quarterback, you got a chance to get this guy. That creates a bidding war. That's what you really want.
Next year.
You want one higher level guy. And I'm just saying.
So you don't think acting interested has any value in this year's pre-draft process?
Everyone knows. I don't think anyone's going to believe you over their own eyes. So I just think it's I think it's a hard sell. I think all you got to do is just say we're open for
business. So how do you explain then? And I don't disagree with that at all. I think I'm just looking at things from every vantage point. I don't understand the Warren Sapps of the world. I don't understand the idea that it seems to be out there. It might be a small percentage of people, maybe the minority, the silent minority, but not so silent minority, that says that the Bears are going to take a quarterback and trade Justin Fields or move on from Justin Fields and take a quarterback. I think
that's trickier. Okay. I'm in terms of, you know, if I'm Ryan Poles, I would let it be known that I'm open for business, and I would encourage all callers that I'm open for business. I might even listen to what somebody wants to say about Justin Fields. If there is a team out there that literally has fallen in love with him and wants to give you three number one picks, whatever it might be, I might listen to that too, David. Now, I don't want him to know that, and I don't want to make it be known that I'm interested in moving on from that player. But I think anybody that calls me, hey, I'm open for business, I would have a conversation with them, even one that included Justin Fields. I wouldn't shop them, and I think they should stay with him, but I would listen to anything anyone had to say.
I agree with it, because you don't ever rule out any conversation or possibility, but it just seems somewhat implausible to me that a team would be more interested in trading for Justin Fields if they're going to give up what it would take to get him, rather than trading up to get a quarterback whose potential is still untapped, and he's going to be the guy you draft rather than somebody who you're trading for. You know what I mean? If there's a team that's compelled to draft to go after a young quarterback and to give up draft capital for a young quarterback, wouldn't it be more likely they do it for a guy that they're going to draft themselves rather than somebody they're going to trade for who's already in the league? Because Justin Fields, as much as he accomplished last year, still has a ways to go for reasons that we have talked about all season long. So I don't know if he...
Well, I mean, here's the thing. If you trade Justin Fields, then is there a quarterback good enough to draft in his place? And are you trading? Like I said, I would not trade Justin Fields. But, you know, I would be open for business. And I'd listen to anything anyone had to offer, and I would go back and try to figure out how to make the math problem work. I really would.
The draft math would be, according to, you know, a lot of the proposals, and you look at the draft value charts and whatever you're using, but it would seem, as I said, alluded to earlier, you're going to be swapping picks with somebody if you trade it, whether it's second, fourth, or ninth, and then you're likely to get two picks in the top 60, right, this year, and additional to the swapping of picks, and then a future first-round pick. Three bodies additional for moving down anywhere between two to three to eight spots.
Listen, you know, let's say you trade down, you get Jalen Carter, and then you start drafting some linemen. Okay? Aren't you laughing? I mean, if you can build from the inside out and get the line of scrimmage resolved.
Yes.
And then you also
you are in the ideal spot.
And you got that's
you're in the
you
ideal
do.
Spot. You draft you a defensive lineman that you can plug and play.
Yes.
You supplement your offensive line with high picks.
Yes.
Maybe spend another one on another need area, but you also are going to, unfortunately or fortunately, however you want to look at it, realistically, be drafting for need this year, because you're going to be drafting, and I don't want to overstate that, but you're going to be drafting based on what you don't get in free agency to some degree with those first three picks, if they are top 75 picks or top 60 picks. Don't you think that they're going to be more compelled to try to address things they don't get in free agency?
Yes.
In the draft, if you're drafting
yes.
early?
I would try to get someone on both sides of the line of scrimmage.
Absolutely.
In free agency.
Look at this NFC Championship game. Yes. Why were those teams there? Yes, Jalen Hurts is great. Yes, the weapons are there, but it's the lines of scrimmage for both 49ers and the Eagles which carried them to that point.
Let me ask you a question that is related to the Super Bowl. How many times does Mahomes get sacked in the Super Bowl?
Against this pass rush, he's going to get sacked – at least three times. At least if it were three, yeah. I would take the over.
Yeah.
If the number were three, I would take the over.
Most,
would you?
The most he's ever been sacked in a game is five times. I believe that was Arizona.
Was that the Super Bowl against the Bucks?
No, it wasn't a Super Bowl. It was, I'm just saying, in his career, he was sacked five times in a game. I would wonder if they could hit that record. I just think that three is probably a good way to set the over on.
I think I would take the over, and if I were a betting man and I saw the odds yesterday come out for the Super Bowl MVP, a long shot right now, relatively speaking, would be Hassan Reddick, and I would be willing to make that bet.
He was
he
awful
can
good
wreck
in that game.
Any game.
Yeah, he was very good in that game.
And you could see him controlling this Super Bowl in a way that, remember Von Miller in the Broncos victory? You could see him having that kind of impact on this game because against the 49ers, and we don't have to remind you what happened at Soldier Field, Hassan Reddick can be unblockable on any given Sunday.
All right, we're gonna bring in Andrew Brandt next. We're going to ask Andrew about what's going on with the salary cap. Is that a good thing for the Bears? Is that a bad thing for the Bears because there were more people with more money? Bears have the most money. What does that mean? And we'll talk to him about that. It's Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 of the Score.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Trial balloon. How do we think about a neutral site for championship game? Because I'll tell you, people, it's coming. It's coming. It's coming. And I now get this, all this ranting, raving, and it's terrible. Of course it's terrible if you're a fan. If one of those home teams, Philly or Kansas City, like, think about that in the future. Of course it's terrible, but you think the NFL cares that fans think it's terrible? No. This is a business.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. That is audio from the Business of Sports NFL Business Podcast with Andrew Brandt. And Andrew is, of course, the former Packers president and knows a little bit about finance. And you can catch him on the Sunday 7 newsletter as well. and we are delighted to welcome him again to the program. He joins us on the Signature Bank Score Hotline. Signature Bank, making commercial banking personal. Andrew, good morning. How are you?
Good to be with you guys, as always. I was listening to that clip coming in. I'm like, that voice sounds familiar. That topic sounds familiar.
Exactly.
I realized that that was me. Listen, on the neutral site, I just found one of the NFL doesn't tweet much, their PR tweet. But some reason, and I think I know the reason, they tweeted out on Friday before these games, or it was like a week ago, hey, we've sold over 50,000 tickets to the neutral site Atlanta game.
Yeah.
And I'm like, why are they doing that other than to piss off the Bengals? Like, why are they doing that? And I think they've put it out there as a trial balloon, which has been negative, of course. But this is coming. And it's coming because, I mean, everyone can go into why and why and why, and it's so terrible. But the reason is, think three Super Bowls a year rather than one. Now, of course, it's not going to be Super Bowl-like, but it's going to be known 8 months in advance instead of 4 days in advance where these games are. And think of all the things you can do around that city, around that event. And that's the big word here, event. So I think that the league realizes, hey, we're losing out on this. College football has this. March Madness has this. What are we doing here? And I think that's coming.
We've talked about this a lot, Andrew. I wonder, how big of a factor would it be to do the neutral site thing because of the poor officiating that we saw on Sunday in both championship games, because of the way that maybe the home field advantage, the home crowd, might influence the officiating?
Sure seems like it from the games, but again, the NFL would never admit to that. But yeah, if you sort of extrapolate that to a more sterile environment in, say, Atlanta, maybe you don't have that. And maybe there's not a call on the last play with Patrick Mahomes. Maybe not. You know, there is human nature in officiating. We know that. As skilled as these guys are, if you're going to see that play in Kansas City, it's probably different than seeing that play in Cincinnati.
It's interesting. I believe it was Mike Florio who wrote a thing last week or maybe the week before where he talked about full-time officials. They're inching ever closer to it. I mean, this is a multiple billion-dollar business, multi-billion-dollar business, and the idea that you've got part-time officials, which, listen, these guys have careers, they have lives, it is 20 weeks a season. It's always been a mystery as to how to put together full-time officials in the NFL. Is it time?
It is a mystery. You can always say it's time, but listen, when I was at the Packers, I used to talk to these guys before the game on the field because I'm out there early, they're out there early. And there are a couple of lawyers. We're talking about lawyering stuff. We're talking about being judges. We're talking about a guy worked at the NY transportation system. So I think the league would ideally like full-time refs, but it all gets down to business, right? In my area, are you going to pay them? I mean, Major League Baseball officials average, I don't know, a couple hundred, 300,000 a year. So are you going to pay these guys like that to, you know, we can all say, do what for 6 months? Look at film? Look at fitness? I mean, what are they going to do for 6 months? You know, are you going to pay them for 6 months for not doing much? So that's always the question.
So yesterday we found out that the salary cap will increase 8% up to $224.8 million. Here in Chicago, we're fixated on that, Andrew, because the Bears have more cap space than anybody in the league, $91.8 million. How did you interpret why the increase happened? Is this just the cost of a typical inflationary increase? And when you have a team like the Bears at the top of the list with cap space, does that necessarily mean they're going to spend all of it?
Yeah, I mean, listen, having managed a cap, it's always this push and pull when you have cap space, how much to spend, how much to leave over for the future. There's carryover now. As everyone knows, you can carry over to year to year. What it would allow me to do with a lot of cap space is to better manage contracts for big time contracts. In other words, you know, not do what the Saints and the Rams and some other teams have done, which is keep pushing out the pain to the future. So say the Bears want to sign a guy for $20 million cash first year. Maybe it's 10 bonus, 10 salary. Maybe it's 18 bonus, 2 salary, whatever it is. I would match cash and cap. So I would not give it in signing bonus because signing bonus is prorated and you're pushing out the pain.
Right.
So now they have an opportunity to say, okay, we're going to pay this guy $20 million first year. We're also going to load cap $20 million first year. And then we don't have to worry about it in the future. And we can cut him in 2 years and have zero cap. So these are the kind of decisions you make. And the Bears are in an advantageous situation right now.
I was saying to David that I thought it might be a bad thing for the Bears in the free agent market, that teams, that the cap is now increased 8%, so teams have more money. In other words, are they more likely to sign a guy and keep him out of free agency? Are they more likely to be able to kind of manipulate their own cap to the point where, as you say, some teams are spreading out the hit? And does that mean that fewer players are available for the Bears to try to sign? And in these teams that have this money, they could put all that money into one guy if they wanted to, if they felt there were one guy away, and that prevents a team like the Bears with all the money to do anything but overbid.
Yeah, I mean, these are my pet peeves going into this time of year every year as someone who's done this. People don't understand this stuff. And they think, you know, listen, I would tell agents and I would tell people asking, don't worry about the cap. Let me worry about that. Don't worry. The cap is not money. People have to understand cap does not equal money. Cap equals accounting. That's all it is. It's accounting. The key is, what's the cash? If you're an agent, if you're a team, what's the cash? Forget about cap. What's the money going to the player year one, year two, year three? What's the guarantee? What's the structure? How much is he going to get over 3 years, which is the realistic time frame for these contracts? Cap is just pushing around money. And if you have it, like the Bears, to push around, you can keep it. You can load it. You can pay as you go. If you're a team like the Rams or the Bucks or the Saints, you're in this vicious cycle of pushing out. But let's be clear. Cap does not prevent teams from spending, and teams with a lot of cap does not make them spend. It's all budgeting. That's all it is.
Andrew, we look at the Philadelphia Eagles and they're back in the Super Bowl, and Howie Roseman now has done it again. I know he's a contemporary of yours. We give him a lot of credit for the roster building, and I think there's an assumption that, boy, you know, he's really great at evaluating talent. He might be, but you look at the way that he has structured some other things in terms of he came up as you point out, a capologist, a financial guy. What is it that he does better than everybody else that puts the Eagles in another position to win a Super Bowl?
Well, people focus on the scout-type GM. And I know the Bears just hired one, and there's nothing wrong with that. A GM that comes up from the scouting background, that's been bird-dogging players since they were 24 years old, that's gone to college campuses 6 months every year, that's fine. And that usually makes for the best type of drafter or talent evaluator. But people don't realize what a GM really does. And a GM is maneuvering. A GM is business. And Howie's an example of a GM from a business point of view, from a negotiating background. And that has added so much value to the Eagles. He has wrangled trades with these football scout type GMs where he's just at another level. He's at another level. He's getting value for the Eagles. Great trades. He has drafted well. He's learned that. He has done core extensions for players that you would think, man, players should get more money than that for that player. He's done it. And what he's used is this business background to outsmart agents and to outsmart football-type GMs. And I've made this joke kind of in jest, but not really. Like, if I'm another GM getting a call from the Eagles, I'm going to run the other way. Like, what he's done to the Saints with some of those trades, I mean, he got A.J. Brown for a 1 and a 3, when other trades for like Davante Adams and Tyreek Hill were at least a 1 and a 2. So these are little things that add up. So he's proved his value here, and that, you know, that's a team that's loaded. I've said since September, this is their year.
So, Andrew, someone told me, and I can't remember who, that, you know, you were talking about cash in hand, that teams are required to spend a certain amount of cash, and that it's over a 3-year period or something, and the Bears need to spend that cash. Is that accurate?
Yeah, that is accurate. And I, you know, I've been critical of the CBA for on that element, because 3 years is not a hard time frame. Yeah, the Bears are under the spending limit if you look at it in 2022, but in a couple of years or a year, you know, they're going to pay Fields. So there's going to be a massive cash infusion, and teams can coast with this 3-year rule. It used to be 4, so good on them for getting it to 3. But, you know, if you want real spending by teams, you got to do it annually. And hopefully one day the CBA will look at these spending limits and say every year, not over 3 years.
What is the limit in over 3 years?
You got to spend, I believe it's 89% of the cap over 3 years. So theoretically, you could spend up, I don't know, 100% 1 year and 70%, I don't know, 82% for two years, whatever it may be.
Andrew, do you have any experience dealing with Kevin Warren, and what did you think about him becoming the Bears team president?
Yeah, he was all over the NFC North. You know, I think he was with Detroit and Minnesota during my time with the Packers. Solid administrator, solid leader. Has a nice presence. I think he'll be fine. I mean, I think, you know, we have different roles in football and sports, and I think we're sort of morphing into more business. You know, these are just $2 billion-plus assets right now, and they need someone with leadership background over massive investments like that.
Hey, Andrew, thanks a ton. Tons of great information. Really appreciate your time.
Thanks, Andrew.
Thanks, guys. There, people are asking me. I do these reels. Instagram. My kids got me on Instagram.
Great.
So go to Andrew Brandt, too, and I do reels about all this stuff.
That's great.
Excellent. Oh, yeah, I'll do that today. Thank you so much, Andrew. God
Thanks,
bless.
Guys.
That is Andrew Brandt.
That's on the gram.
Fascinating.
He's really smart, and he's really plugged in and had some great perspective on the cap, as well as Howie Roseman and the
that was interesting
background of a general manager and how it has evolved and changed over the years.
If he calls, run.
Run.
We got Coach Wattstedt. He'll join us next. Mully and Hall on the Score.
Dave Wattstedt, Bears head coach for 6 seasons.
The Bears.
The Bears.
Super Bowl champion.
How about them Cowboys?
Yeah!
Great mustache.
Some say it's a symptom of manliness. Others a cause. The mustache.
Want to hang it out with Mully and Haw on 670 The Score.
Open up the door. It's Dave.
Who?
Dave. D-A-V-E.
Dustin, we're not going to waste airtime on that, okay?
Thank you.
Next question.
Thank you.
Next question.
Thank you
Next
very
question.
Much.
Dave Wattstedt.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. It is always a joy to talk to Coach Wattstedt, and to have him in studio is fantastic. Dave, good morning, and how are you? How's everything going?
Everything's great. Yeah, I took a quick trip to Florida for a week or two just to check on the house, so I'll be back and forth, you know, but I'll be in here pestering you guys quite a bit.
Pretty cold outside this morning, huh, Dave?
I'm embarrassed to say. I'm embarrassed to say that I actually did not walk to the studio
the
first time.
That's a tough one.
You know, but I'm looking outside. The sun's out. I think I'll walk home.
I got to tell you, the first thing I said to David this morning is, oh, my God, I have the wrong coat on. I just grabbed the wrong jacket, and, I mean, I was freezing just trying to get to the garage.
Yeah, no, it's
cold. Awful.
It's
cold. I got gas this morning and had to sit in the car while the gas was into
pumping.
My
wow. –
Yeah, it was pumping because it was that cold.
I think in New Jersey, they still pump the gas for you.
Really?
Do they really?
I think it's New Jersey. There's some – Yes, we pulled in, and I got out, and guy came up to the window and said, you know, I said, oh, regular. You know,
oh, yeah. That I gotta tell you.
Remember those days?
Those are good old days. I mean, you felt like a king.
Yes.
Check the water and oil. And fill her up.
Didn't you drive over like something and made the bell went off?
Oh yeah.
And so the guy knew to run out. Yeah.
Yeah. That's great.
And then you'd hand them a hand. You know, you're driving, right? You guys probably went through this, and you pull in for gas, and I say, and I got five other guys in the car, and said, who's got some change on them? So guys are reaching in their pocket.
Yeah, yeah.
Wait, gas is probably 40 cents a
gallon.
So they hand you, you're getting pennies, nickels, dimes, and you hand the guy, you know, 85 cents or something.
I did that one time. I was with my wife, and we were driving around. I don't know what. We didn't go anywhere, and I asked her if she could chip in for some gas. You remember, you'd always do that. You'd always have your buddies. Everybody would throw
absolutely.
It.
That's very funny. Absolutely. That was part of the deal.
So I had a friend, if he was drinking in high school, he'd put like 3 cents in the back of the car so it killed any smell if there was a spill.
Oh.
It smelled like gasoline.
There you go.
Yeah. Clever. Southsiders.
Southsiders. Love it.
So, Dave, what'd you think of Sunday's games? What was the biggest takeaway for you? How big of a surprise was either outcome?
Well, which one you want to start with?
It's the NFC.
NFC. You know, it was disappointing that Brock Purdy got hurt. Because I really picked the Eagles. I bet on the Eagles to win, but I do believe it would have been a lot more competitive game. You know, the big thing about San Francisco that happened in that game is their whole passing game. They don't throw the ball down the field. Purdy, everybody talks about how quick he gets the ball out of his hands. Well, that's because of their passing game. Their whole philosophy is run it. Same formation, same motions, now play action, pass it, and those linebackers, they very seldom throw the ball outside. If you really think of the 49ers passing game, it's all, you know, Samuel's coming across the middle, and it's Kittle inside. And why is that? It's because the linebackers are so conscious of attacking the line. Stop the run. Now we give you a look. It looks exactly the same, except now it's a play action pass. And that's where, and they hit the ball, it comes out quick, and they let their good athletes run, you know, McCaffrey and those guys. So that was taken away. When they had the penalties and the turnovers and the sacks, now they're behind the chains. They had no chance. But the last point, Philly did everything that I thought they would do, except you could tell, and everybody wants to talk about how Patrick Mahomes was not full speed. Well, I guarantee you, Jalen Hurts is not full speed. He's, you know, he was off. He was not himself throwing the ball. He really didn't want to make a commitment to run the ball till the third quarter. So I think the 2 weeks off before the Super Bowl will make a difference in his play.
We'll get to the game, and we'll talk about that when we come back. But I'm curious, Dave, when you look at the Brock Purdy injury, and Trey Lance has had two surgeries on that broken ankle or whatever his ankle injury was. He's already had two surgeries. Jimmy Garoppolo's heading to free agency. Is San Francisco kind of a sneaky spot for one of these? Because they don't need a rookie. They need a win now player. That defense is ready to win a Super Bowl. They've got so much weaponry on the offense. They just don't have a quarterback. Could that be a place where, I don't know, maybe an elderly quarterback that grew up in that area goes back and
absolutely
Tom Brady's
either one.
Finish.
Well, I think Aaron Rodgers. I mean, that's the guy that comes. Although, you know, Tom Brady would fit. You know, I was people were saying we're Tom Brady. Tom Brady would fit there, in my opinion. He would fit at Tennessee. I mean, he's got a great relationship with Mike Vrabel, right?
Yeah,
they
that's
played
right.
together,
yeah.
And for when Tom is most effective, going back to his early days in New England and when they won the Super Bowl with Tampa, we'll bring it in closer, what were they doing? They were running the ball and throwing play-action passes. That's what Tom really does. And where could you not go and be in a better situation for running the ball and play-action passes? Yes, I agree with you, Molly. Good point. San Francisco. But I don't know what the relationship is, him and Vrabel. But it wouldn't shock me. It would not shock me if he ended up at Tennessee.
Rodgers will cost you draft picks. Rodgers will cost you draft capital.
Yep.
Brady
will
cost you money.
Well,
your
money
cap
too
would be blown up.
But he is willing to restructure, as he said. So even if he say he makes a team-friendly deal, it's still going to cost you draft picks. Brady is only money. That's why I think that may be on their priority list. That may be priority one. Explore that possibility because you can bring him in. And also, Brock Purdy would be great. If he comes back, learn under Tom Brady for a year. I don't know where Trey Lance fits into that equation. I don't know how healthy he'll be when he comes back.
Yeah,
I think Trey Lance is out. I mean, I think they got to move on from him.
Yeah.
I mean, he was never as effective as what Purdy was. You know, I mean, let's face it. So that's a good point. I mean, you know, Purdy's going to be there. You know, or what's the relationship with Garoppolo? You know, I mean, is Garoppolo, does he have a great rapport? He doesn't want to move. He's got a house there, and they come in and they say, what would it take to keep you for a year till we get Purdy back? You know what I mean? I wouldn't count that out of the equation either.
A lot of quarterbacks on the move, and every move, as we were discussing earlier, could potentially affect what the Bears do at number one.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know, I mean, all of a sudden the guy signs a veteran guy who you thought was going to draft somebody, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And now things change. I mean, everybody's talking about the Colts. All of a sudden, Derek Carr or who knows, you know what I mean? Any of these guys end up at the Colts, and now they're not looking for a rookie quarterback. So, you know, Houston is the play, I think, right now because they do need a quarterback. They're going to start from scratch. It's just a matter. You know, I was talking to Rick Spielman yesterday, and you know, Rick, he's down at the Senior Bowl now, and he said that there are some real difference of opinions now. And as time goes on, there's people that love Levens from
Kentucky.
There's people that now love C.J. Stroud from Ohio State.
Yeah.
And then you know, obviously
Bryce Young from
Alabama. You know what I mean? But it's and Rick made the point. He says, the reason that the Bears with Justin Fields keep moving forward with Justin Fields is because he says there's not Peyton Manning or there's not Trevor Lawrence in this draft, in his opinion.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. Coach is staying with us. I want to ask you, Dave, when we come back, if multiple quarterbacks moving up, if that's good for the Bears or bad for the Bears? Do you want to create a bidding war on one guy, or do you want differing opinions and different teams capable of making a move up? We'll discuss that next. It's Mully and Haw. We have Coach Wanstead with us on Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.